The following is a recording from the sermon files of the Beacon Church of Christ. To God be the glory always.
As we continue our study of the parables this afternoon, we get to get into the exciting field of eschatology. You might wonder, what in the world is eschatology? Study of end times. There are a lot of misconceptions in this idea of studying the end times. We're actually going to notice a couple of parables about a fig tree today. We'll kind of focus a lot on the barren fig tree in Luke 13, verses 6 through 9, but to understand this one, it also helps us to understand Matthew chapter 24, where there's another parable of a fig tree. So be looking in your Bibles at Luke 13 and Matthew 24. This is probably one of the most difficult topics, parable-wise especially. Very difficult. There's some things about this that's difficult to understand. And it doesn't have to be difficult, but sadly, many make it more difficult than it ought to be because they put in their preconceived notions about the end times, specifically with the premillennial notions that we've talked about several times recently in some sermons and in the bulletin articles. And so if you read premillennialism into these things, then it makes it a lot more difficult than what Jesus is actually saying. So keep that in mind. This parable does not have to do with the end of the world, but rather the end of Judaism, which occurred in A.D. 70. But we will notice some things about the end of the world in Matthew 24 also. And we'll also notice some things about the end of Judaism in Matthew 24 as well. The background of the parable, and again, kind of honing in on Luke 13, verses 1 and following, we learn that there were present at that season, this is Luke chapter 13, some that told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. So there were some Galileans who had been killed right there during the time of sacrificing. So blood of these Galileans is being mingled with the blood of the sacrifices. And there's a question about this. And in verse 2, we read, "Suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered these things?" Jesus asked, is there a reason that these people had been killed and their blood mingled with the sacrifices there with Pilate? Is it because that their sins are greater than others? The answer to that is no. Their sins were not greater than others. All sin will go punished if it goes unrepented of and unforgiven. So these Jews are wondering this. And verse 3, Jesus answers his question. He says, "I tell you, nay, no. But except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Of those, or those 18 upon whom the tower in Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, nay. But except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." So it was not because these particular people who suffered these tragedies with Pilate killing people and the tower falling upon people, it was not because their sins were worse than others that they suffered that fate. That is not the case at all. And then he goes into the parable in verses 6 through 9. Jesus is referring not only to spiritual death, but also I believe that he's got in mind here the death of this nation of the Jews, which happened in A.D. 70. So we've got the parable. We'll read it real quick. It says, "He spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard. And he came and sought fruit thereon, and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, Behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? And he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it, and dung it, fertilize it. And if it bear fruit, well. And if not, then after thou shalt cut it down." How long had God bared with this nation of Israel? Centuries. His long-suffering throughout all their sin, and he would graciously accept them back when they would repent, and then they'd go right back into sin. Well, Jesus is preaching here, unless you repent, you shall all likewise perish. And then he goes into this parable. We talked about in Zechariah chapter 11 this morning. We have a very graphic prophecy. We talked about this in Bible class, and we want to revisit it now. In Zechariah chapter 11, we have this very graphic prophecy of the end of the Jewish nation. In Zechariah chapter 11, verses 6 through 14, we read, "For I will no more pity the inhabitants of the land, saith the Lord. But lo, I will deliver the men, every one into his neighbor's hand and into the hand of his king, and they shall smite the land, and out of their hand I will not deliver them. And I will feed the flock of slaughter, even you, O poor of the flock. And I took unto me two staves, two rods, the one I called beauty, and the other I called bands, and fed the flock." He's got these two rods, and he calls them beauty and bands. "Three shepherds also I cut off in 1 month, and my soul loathed them, and their soul also abhorred me." I think probably referring to Jewish leaders, perhaps an exact three, or maybe this is a figurative three, but Jewish leaders that are very disagreeable to God because of their sin. "Then said I will not feed you. That dieth, let it die, and that is to be cut off, let it be cut off. And let the rest eat every one the flesh of another. And I took my staff, even beauty, and cut it asunder." So he has this visual representation of breaking this staff called beauty. "That I might break my covenant which I had made with all the people." Why? Not because God had done anything to do away with the covenant. It was the people forsook the covenant of the Lord. And so he ushers in a new covenant. "And it was broken in that day, and so the poor of the flock that waited upon me knew that it was the word of the Lord. And I said unto them, if ye think good, give me my price, and if not, forbear. So they weighed for my price 30 pieces of silver," what Jesus was betrayed for. "And the Lord said unto me, cast it unto the potter, a goodly price that I was priced at of them. And I took the 30 pieces of silver and cast them to the potter in the house of the Lord. Ultimately, the straw that breaks the camel's back, the Jewish nation will reject Christ." And this is referencing the betrayal and ultimately a crucifixion. "Then I cut asunder mine other staff, even bands," the other staff, "bands, that I might break the brotherhood between Judah and Israel. Judaism, as they knew it, would be done away." So this is prophecy in the book of Zechariah of this. And in Luke chapter 12, right before our passage in chapter 13, Luke chapter 12, verses 54 through 59, Jesus is giving warning of coming destruction and the chance to repent while they still had the opportunity. Luke 12, verses 54 through 59. "And he said also to the people, when ye see a cloud rise out of the west, straightway ye say, there cometh a shower. And so it was. When a cloud comes from the west, the Mediterranean Sea, you know it's bringing moisture with it, and there's going to be rain. And when ye see the south wind blow," there's a desert to the south of Palestine, "ye say, there will be heat, and it cometh to pass. Ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky and of the earth, but how is it that you do not discern this time?" Judaism's about to be done away with completely. "Yea, and why even of yourselves judge ye not what is right? When thou goest with thine adversary to the magistrate, as thou art in the way, give diligence that thou mayest be delivered from him, lest he hale thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and the officer cast thee into prison. Make it right before you end up being punished. I tell thee, thou shalt not depart thence till thou hast paid the very last mite." You're not going to be able to pay it back. You're going to be punished with everlasting destruction. And then he goes in, and this question comes up with the ones who were mingled with the sacrifices that Pilate did. And then he tells them, if they do not repent, they will likewise perish. Another important passage that we now need to turn to is Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24, and this is a chapter that can be difficult. And unfortunately, the premillennialists will take this chapter and they will try to predict the second coming of Christ. And they will try to put in the 7 years of tribulation that they say is going to happen, and the rapture, and all these different things. They will insert their premillennial doctrines into this chapter. But we need to understand that there are some very clear markers in this chapter that will help us defeat those premillennial ideas. So be on the lookout for these markers in the chapter. There's two things that we need to know about this chapter. Number one, the destruction of the temple and the Jewish nation, and also the end of the world. He's going to talk about two things in this chapter, and that's the key. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. Jesus is talking about the destruction of the temple here. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be? What have they just been talking about? The destruction of the temple. Tell us, when will this happen? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? There's two things under consideration here. Destruction of the temple and the end of the world. The premillennialist is concerned just with the end of the world in this chapter. And that's where he makes one of his crucial mistakes. So verses 1 through 3, we have this destruction of the temple, which historically we know happened in A.D. 70. And this is mentioned in verses 1 through 3. Verses 4 through 14, we've got various bad persecuting type things and natural events that have been happening for a long time, and they're still happening. Even today, verses 4 through 14. And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, these false Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumor of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Some of these things are signs that can help point to the destruction of Jerusalem in AD 70, but they're not pointing to the end of time. The end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And they're doing that today. They're using this chapter to do so. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. We're still preaching that gospel, aren't we? But notice verse 15. This is a prophecy from Daniel about the abomination of desolation. Verses 15 through 35, we're describing the destruction of Jerusalem. Verses 15 through 35. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whoso readeth, let him understand. Luke chapter 21 and verse 20. Luke chapter 21 and verse 20, Jesus saying this, reiterating this, says, when Jerusalem is encompassed with armies. And so he's preaching the same message, talking about the abomination of desolation, when Jerusalem is circled about with the armies. Which armies? The Roman armies. Then you know it's time. And so what is he talking about here? He's talking about the destruction of Jerusalem. We know this historically happened in AD 70 with the Roman general Titus. When the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let him them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Get away, because this is it. This is the destruction. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day, for then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake those days shall be shortened. All of these things are happening, and did you know that the Christians, when this happened historically, the Christians escaped? The Christians saw what Jesus was talking about, and they got out of there. And Josephus says that no Christian perished when these events took place, but the Jews did. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. Don't fall for false messiahs. And especially with such terrible things going on in AD 70 then, lots of false messiahs could have come and tried to pull away disciples for themselves. If any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. When Jesus does return during his second coming, it's going to be like that, as fast as the lightning. And so if someone's saying, oh, Jesus has been waiting in the wings over here, don't believe it. It's false prophets, false messiahs. Verse 28, for wheresoever the carcass is, there will be the eagles gathered together. Just a figurative explanation of birds of carrion coming and feeding on those that are dead. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory, and he shall send his angels with great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. And then he gives this parable of a fig tree, which when his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. You know. You can look at a tree and determine seasons and determine when the tree's going to give its fruit and so forth. So likewise ye, when shall see all these things, know that it is near even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation, this is one of our markers, this generation, the one he was speaking to right there, shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. What has Jesus been talking about? Very first part of the chapter, he's talking about all these stones will not be left on one another. The temple is going to be destroyed. He's talking about coming in judgment in a figurative way. He's not saying he's literally going to come down and at that time, his second coming, which is what realized eschatology teaches. If you've heard of Max King, it is a very strange doctrine where these false teachers teach that Jesus' second coming already happened, and that the destruction of the world, even. It makes no sense whatsoever, but there are some people that teach that. This is talking about punishment for Jerusalem and Judaism, the temple. All these things would be taken out in AD 70, but notice verse 36, but of that day and hour. Now he's going to address their second question. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. The day of his second coming, the ultimate day of judgment, when Jesus Christ is going to return, the dead will rise, those who are still living will be caught up in the air with him. That day knows no man, only the Father in heaven. Verse 37, but as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. It's going to be unexpected. People are going to be just living their lives, living it up like the people were in the days of Noah, and Jesus is going to return like that. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the goodman of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would have not suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready. For in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give them meat in his due season? Blessed is that servant from whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But, and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, My Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of him, and shall cut him asunder, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Distinctions in Matthew chapter 24. First, he's talking about the destruction of Jerusalem. Then he's talking about the end of the world. So we've got that parable of the fig tree. And then we've got this parable back in Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13, again, remember that we've got in view the destruction of the kingdom of the Jews. Every semblance of this nation is going to be destroyed. Verse number 6 of Luke chapter 13 says, He spake also this parable, A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon, and found none. Was this Jewish nation bearing fruit? No. They were not faithful. And they reject Christ. And so the fruit being the nation of Israel, then the certain man here would be God. He plants this fruit. He takes care of it. He comes to seek fruit on the fig tree and finds none. Verse number 7, Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, Behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? I think maybe this is even depicting in the parable a conversation between God the Father and God the Son being the dresser of this nation. And Jesus is coming. Remember, he's preaching to the Jews, trying to get them to repent. We see preaching for the Jews and then the Samaritans and the Gentiles. We see this progression. Jesus certainly wanted the Jews to repent and to accept him, but they didn't. They reject him. And so, 3 years, perhaps figurative language for just a period of time that Jesus is pleading with them to turn to him, to accept him, to obey him, obey his gospel. But God is ready to cut them off. Verses 8 and 9, And he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. He's trying to nurture it. He's trying to fertilize it. And if it bear fruit, well, and if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. Jesus is trying to spell it out here that he's long-suffering, he's patient, he wants these people to repent. I tell you nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Earlier in the chapter, he's trying to be patient with them and help them. And I think about times when Jesus literally wept over the Jews. In Matthew chapter 23, leading into chapter 24 that we just read, verse 37, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and you would not. Jesus weeping for his nation that is going to reject him. in Luke chapter 19, verses 42 through 44. If thou hast known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, the peace that you can have if you will just accept Christ. But now they are hid from thine eyes. For the day shall come upon thee, and that thine enemy shall cast a trench about thee, and compass thee round, and keep thee in on every side, and shall lay thee even with the ground. Jesus weeping as he's picturing what's going to happen to Jerusalem and to his people, the Jews. They're going to come, they're going to lay you with the ground, even with the ground, and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave thee in one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. Jesus was an advocate for Jerusalem. Jesus was an advocate for his people, pleading with them to repent, just like he's our advocate. He wants us to repent. And so in verse 9 again we read, "And if it bear fruit, well, and if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down." And that's what happens. They're cut down. The Jewish nation, for the most part, did not bear fruits of repentance. We know that some obeyed, and we're thankful for that, but most did not. And the Jewish nation is done away with and replaced with the spiritual nation, the church, the kingdom that we are a part of today. So the application for this parable, obviously we can make the connection between this parable and the end of the Jewish nation, the destruction of Jerusalem, but also we need to make sure that we're ready. When we look at passages like this and Jesus is warning about the coming destruction, we need to be ready too, because there's a destruction that's coming. He talked about at the end of Matthew 24, destruction of the world, and so we have to be ready too. We can be assured that the Jewish nation, as they knew it, was completely done away with. No more sacrifices, no more temple, no more priests, Jewish priests, no more genealogical records. These things were done away with completely. Every last semblance of the Jewish nation and religion, couldn't see it anymore after it was wiped out. Just as Jesus said it was going to be wiped out, came to a swift end, and one day this world is going to come to a swift end when Jesus returns. And so we have to be ready. Again, a couple of verses from Matthew 24, verse number 42. "Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come." Verse 44, "Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh." It's going to happen. There's surety of it. And then the final verses of the chapter, he contrasts faithful and wise servants versus evil servants. He says, "The Lord of that servant, the evil one, shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." We look at these two parables about fig trees, we understand something about coming judgment that took place for the Jewish nation, and it ought to make us think about the coming judgment that's going to take place for all the world, and the weeping and the gnashing of teeth that will happen for the vast majority of people that have ever lived, because broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. But let's not let that be us. We can be on that straight and narrow road with a straight gate. By the way, usually when we think of straight, we're thinking of not curvy, but that spelling there actually indicates difficult. The difficult journey of life. It's difficult to truly be what Jesus wants us to be. We face struggles, we face temptations and trials, but we can face those things and we can be faithful. We can walk in His light. We can do it. But we have to be determined to do it. So think about your life this afternoon. Think about these parables. Think about everything that Jesus said, and Matthew 24, Luke 13. Think about these passages that deal with the things that the Jews brought upon themselves, that horrible fate that they brought upon themselves, and think about the horrible fate that countless millions and billions of people are bringing upon themselves because they refuse to repent and obey the Lord. I tell you, nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. It may be the case that you are one such person that needs to repent so that you will not perish this afternoon. It may be that you're a Christian and you need to repent. It may be that you're not a Christian, and so having heard God's word and believing in Christ, you can then repent of your sinful life, confess Christ, and put on Christ in baptism this very moment while you have opportunity. The next moment you may not. If you need to do that, please do that. And make up your mind to be faithful as a child of God going forward and for the rest of your life. Consider your life. If you need to respond, please do so as together we stand and sing.
You've been listening to a sermon from the Beacon Church of Christ. Perhaps you'd like to hear more of these sermons in person. We would love to have you visit our congregation. We are located at 2326 Jonesboro Road in West Monroe. Join us on Sundays at 9:45, 10:30, and 2, and Wednesday nights at 7. A warm welcome awaits you. Come see us soon.